This is Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Las Vegas, here's Matt Perrault.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios at O'Reilly Auto Parts, you're guaranteed to get the everyday low price on the parts you need. Their guaranteed low prices ensure you're getting the best deal. In fact, they'll match any local auto parts store price on any like item. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices. Every day we go to the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans hotline where we get to talk some NFL football, and the combine is really where everyone's focused on right now. Tons of news coming out of it. Rebecca Toback, SB Nation, covering it for SB Nation, joining us here on Pushing the Odds. Rebecca, Matt Perrault, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for the time. I want to start with the John Gruden comments. We just played the audio from Gruden talking about turning the NFL back, or his team back, to 1998. Some are saying that that's a little bit out of context. I'm curious how you heard it and how you think John Gruden meant the comments about taking the league back to 1998.
Oh, see, I totally don't think it was out of context. I mean, I don't think he was necessarily talking about taking the league back to 1998, but he was talking about how personally for the Raiders that he wasn't going to be looking into the new technology that the NFL is making available to them, and that there would be other people on his staff who would, you know, dive into that type of stuff, but that he wanted to focus on old school football and doing things the old fashioned way. And he mentioned that, like, the NFL wouldn't like to hear his opinions anymore, so they're probably happy about him being a coach. So, personally, I don't think it was taken that out of context. He did seem pretty set on not using the new technology and being an old-school coach.
Was the reaction from the media kind of like, did you see Philadelphia and what the Eagles just did? Because they use it and won the Super Bowl. Was there sort of like a weird hush in the room when he said it?
I think that almost everyone laughed. It was one of few moments where the whole group was just like, did he really just say that? And he did.
All right, Rebecca, the Browns' John Dorsey has made some news. He says that Cleveland's open for business with the number one pick. How serious do you think this is? And this is where, I guess, the GMs can start to kind of politic and say and advertise what they're thinking. Do you think the Browns really are open to trading that number one pick?
He did say, someone asked him if what quarterbacks he would explore with the number one pick, and he kind of was like, well, who said I'm going to take a quarterback? We might even trade the pick. So it was kind of like maybe just, you know, saying something to say something and throwing everyone off. But, I mean, I'm sure they are open to trading a first-round pick, maybe the number one, maybe the number four. But if they feel they could get the same guy at number four that they would have wanted at number one, then maybe the number one pick really is in play.
It feels like, and you're there, so you can tell us more than I, just from afar, it feels like the quarterback conversations right now are the most interesting, the ones about Kirk Cousins and A.J. McCarron, and then the draftable players kind of behind the scenes. People are more interested in the free agent class right now from a quarterback perspective. Is that fair?
I would say that that's somewhat fair, but every coach and GM who has spoken and has been asked about that has said, I can't talk about other team players. So, I mean, they can't, so that's fair. But most of the questions being asked to them aren't about the free agents because they can't really talk about that. But as far as A.J. McCarron, yesterday, Duke Chauvin, the director of player personnel for the Bengals, he spoke a lot about McCarron since he is the Bengals player right now and can talk about him. So he spoke about how McCarron was really never given any opportunity to start with the Bengals, and that Andy Dalton, he believes, is a far superior quarterback. He talked a lot about how Dalton is a top quarterback in the league and has proven himself, and just essentially wouldn't stop talking about how McCarron wasn't better than Dalton, which I do believe to be the case as a Bengals fan. But there definitely is interest around the NFL in McCarron, which it'll be interesting to see. I don't think that any team who could be interested in him can only be interested in him. They're probably also going to have to draft another quarterback or also bring in another free agent. But Kirk Cousins is the big name, but there really isn't too much buzz about him since the coaches can't talk about him at this point.
Rebecca Toback covering the NFL in the Combine for SB Nation, joining us here on Pushing the Odds. Kyle Shanahan talked about his new toy and Jimmy Garoppolo. Is just everybody in love with Garoppolo? It seems like there's not one person saying one bad thing about Jimmy G.
Yeah, that there's not really any negativity surrounding him. There was a lot of talk about him this morning, and Shanahan spoke about how he thinks, he has a great arm and that he's going to have to eventually face some adversity, and that they are preparing for that and know that any good quarterback is going to face that and that they'll handle it and are preparing in advance to handle it. So, I mean, everything about him has been really positive, and the 49ers talked about how it's helping them in free agency because they'll be able to say, like, we already have this stable quarterback situation, whereas at this point last year, they didn't even have a quarterback on their roster.
Yeah.
So it's pretty hard to tell free agents on coming to you when you don't have a quarterback. So things have changed drastically for them in the last 12 months.
Rebecca, in terms of some of the bigger name prospects, have you guys heard any news about who could be running, who could be throwing, who won't be running, who won't be throwing? Any of those news come out yet?
The one big one is that Sam Darnold says he's not going to throw, and Hugh Jackson spoke a little bit about that yesterday, and he said, you know, we would like to see him throw, but that's fine. We'll go to his pro day and we'll watch him there. And then the new GM, John Dorsey, talked about how he is very excited to see the quarterbacks compete and how that's a big part of their evaluation is actually being able to see them on the same field at the same time all throwing. So it seems like maybe they're a little disappointed, but at the same time, it's somewhat understandable now when quarterbacks decide not to throw, and a lot of the biggest names in the league decided the same thing when they were at the combine.
Yeah, it just seems like there's not a real big benefit of throwing to receivers who aren't familiar to you, and they don't know you, you don't know them, and it only seems like to be a drop off, not a positive. If you're a big name quarterback, does that diminish the combine, or does that make it more intriguing because players who you might not know much about, they get the stage, they get the spotlight?
Yeah, I think it does give some lesser-known players the spotlight. But another thing that has been highlighted here by a ton of coaches is that the on-the-field stuff really isn't what they're here for. They're here to see what their measurables are, get their medical information, talk to them one-on-one, see how they answer questions, see how prepared they are to actually play in the NFL. So it seems like what they do on the field is kind of potentially the least important thing of what actually goes on at the combine.
Mm. Have you heard from or have you learned anything about the Vikings and what's going on with their quarterback situation? Because that's a complete mess right now.
Yeah, I missed Mike Zimmer speaking this morning, but I heard it was pretty wild. He essentially said that there's no way to rely on Case Keenum to be as good as he was next year, or to be as good as he was last year again next year. And there's been some buzz that none of the three quarterbacks who were on their roster in 2017 will be back in 2018. So I think that's a situation to monitor, and you can never know if the rumors going around or even what coaches are saying is true, because obviously they don't want people to know what they really think at this point. But it should be an interesting next month for the Vikings.
So if you're Case Keenum and you hear that, you're thinking, I'm packing my bags, right?
Yeah, I would probably assume so. Once again, he'll be on the move.
For another mark. My curious is Teddy Bridgewater, because if they're moving off of him, what do they do with Teddy Bridgewater, a guy they could bring back if they want? They could franchise tag it if they want. What do you think is the right move for Minnesota? What would you do?
Yeah, I'm not sure that they really are going to franchise tag him. That's a lot of money for someone who now hasn't played in 2 years, except for one like brief appearance in which he threw an interception on the second pass, I believe.
Yes.
I don't feel that confident that he'll be back with the Vikings, but I do think that he's definitely going to get a chance to compete to start somewhere.
All right, Rebecca, what's the schedule for you coming up today, tomorrow? What should people look to read on SB Nation from you guys?
We, this afternoon, are going to be talking to the offensive linemen and running backs, so we should get some good stuff there. And then tomorrow is quarterbacks and tight ends and wide receivers. So a lot of the biggest names here will be talking to the media, and it should be a good time. And we'll have it all on SB Nation. And you can also read my stuff on CincyJungle.com.
Very cool. Are all the quarterbacks, all the big-name quarterbacks there to talk to the media? Are they all going to show up?
Yes. Pretty much all of them will be there, yeah.
Okay, very cool. Rebecca, thank you for the time. Really appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the combine.
Yeah, thank you.
That is Rebecca Toback. Follow her on Twitter at Rebecca_Toback in Indianapolis, covering the combine for us. And look, I hadn't seen those quotes from Mike Zimmer yet, so I want to go try to find those during the break, and I'll give you exactly what Mike Zimmer said about Case Keenum. But that's pretty interesting to me. If you're Case Keenum, you can't be happy. you can't be happy when your coach is like, we don't think this dude's going to be as good as he was last year. Which again goes back to the Pat Shurmur conversation, because this is why I think the Vikings are moving off of Case Keenum, because Pat Shurmur's not there. I think if Pat Shurmur was there, I think they probably stick around. I mean, literally, I've made this comparison a lot, but Case Keenum is Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas with the Celtics and Brad Stevens, Isaiah Thomas would have gotten most likely a massive, massive contract to play under Brad Stevens, because Brad Stevens built a team and an offense around what Isaiah Thomas was good at doing. He hid him defensively on the other end, so Isaiah Thomas was not seen as the massive liability that he is at 5 foot, whatever the heck he is. And so the Celtics had a coach who knew how to take the guy's skill sets and get the most out of him. I think Pat Shurmur is the same deal. Pat Shurmur looked at his offense and said, okay, I can't run power football. I got two good wide receivers on the outside. I love what Thielen can do. Let's get the football to him. We know what Diggs is capable of, so we're going to get the ball to him. I got a quarterback who played at a really up-tempo offensive style, broke records in college at Houston. I got to go up-tempo. I got to run. I got to throw. I got to move. And all of a sudden, the Vikings went bang. Case Keenum played really, really well. And now the team is like, yeah, we don't think we can do that again. So, look, you've hired the quarterback coach from the Eagles. The Eagles do a ton of run-pass options. I don't know if that's what John DeFilippo is going to do. You would think he would have some influence from his Philadelphia days bringing it over to the Vikings, but he must look at Case Keenum and say, nah, he's not Nick Foles. He's not Carson Wentz. He can't do that, so we need somebody else. Because Kirk Cousins can't do it either. And this is what's so odd to me. Like, Kirk Cousins fits Mike Zimmer. Kirk Cousins fits, if you're going to run a pro set, you're going to be under center, you're going to run the football, you're going to play power. Okay, I get that. You got a great defense, control the line of scrimmage, and then throw the ball, 25 times a game. I don't know, man. I don't know. It worked really well last year in Minnesota, and to hang it all on Pat Shurmur, I like the guy. I just think if you're Zimmer and you're the Vikings, I don't know. I think bringing back Case Keenum is not a bad idea. I don't like Case Keenum. I don't love Case Keenum. I don't think he's a great quarterback. I don't. I think he's a good quarterback in the right system. So the Vikings are saying, we're not going to sign Case Keenum and build the system to fit Case Keenum. We're going to run our system, and we're going to sign a quarterback that fits our system, not vice versa. That would mean they're all in on Kirk Cousins, because that's it. A.J. McCarron? Look, I would take Case Keenum over A.J. McCarron because of familiarity with players and the offense. That's what I would do if I was the Vikings. They better get Kirk Cousins. If they don't, whoa. Interesting stuff. More on the NFL and the Combine next. SB Nation Radio.